Blog Talk Radio.
Opening song for this week, the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Kip Gross, out there in hot Phoenix, Arizona, where it's probably been about 3 weeks worth of 100-degree temperature. Here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, where the temperatures exceeded that for about a week and a half. Desert heat, we call it, but that's a story for another day. 347-205-9631. Anything after that, catch the archive version. 30 minutes goes by quick. Blog Talk Radio, Mancini Sports, /, that is. Any other podcast, Mancini Media, is it powered by? So without further ado, as we lay down the red carpet, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Kip, the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, boy, there's a lot to talk about if you're not under an umbrella with a cold one.
Well, I can tell you, I fooled you this time. I'm not in Phoenix area right now. I'm back in Newport Beach, and it's a lot cooler here, so I'm happy about that. You can get a hold of me by kipgross.com, or you can get to my email address at beagamer@gmail.com. That's B as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in apple, gamer@gmail.com. And let's have a good podcast today. Talk about some umpires and some travel and what have you about baseball. Let's get it after.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. And you know what people don't understand? And I was sitting there with Tarik Brock on Sunday, and you know they don't do the batting practice on a Sunday too much after a Saturday night game, and then it's a getaway, and then you bust down to San Diego, you play two night games, which they'll do, and then they'll play a day game tomorrow. Off day, and then you get the Phillies in Pittsburgh after that. What people don't understand, they think baseball players make a lot of money. They think, you know, they're overpaid. And I have stood here and stood on a podium with a bullhorn saying it's the toughest thing in life to ever do, and you don't know what the travel is. These guys travel than more stewardesses. And you're here to tell me, when you get on a three-city road trip, the packing involved in it, by the end of that third city, you're just pretty much dead tired. And, you know, we've talked about it before, but let's throw three cities in that you went that you were just – you thought, okay, this is great, but man, oh, man, by the end of it, you were dead shot.
Well, you know, it's just – you got to get on those planes, and yeah, they got charters now for everybody, which is really, really good because you don't have to really go through the airports. When I was playing with the Dodgers, we had to actually go into the terminal and go to the same door, same everything every time, had the same stewardesses every time. But, you know, now they take the bus right onto the runway and the tarmac's right there, and they just get on the plane and go. But just like you're saying, you know, you got to go after the games on travel days. It's not like you can just sit there for a long, long time. Everybody's got to hurry up, get their butt moving, get their ass going, get dressed and get on that bus so you can get to your charter, because they got to get going. And then you've got to fly across the country, usually anywhere from 3 to 5 hours. And then you get to your hotel, you know, then you got to get back on another bus and you got to go to your hotel. And there's always your traveling secretary taking care of everything for you as far as your room is involved. But at that point in time, you're just dead tired. So you just get your key and you run up to your room and you pass out. And that's, you know, that's usually 3 in the morning, if not later. and then you got to do it all over again tomorrow. And, you know, you're on a 9 or 10 day road trip like that. You got to do that 3 and 4 times. And so it wears on you. That's why, you know, a lot of times the road isn't as good for a lot of players because of the hustle and bustle and everything going on. So, and then you're eating strange food all the time because you're in a different clubhouse and you got to go find your restaurants that you like and whatever, and you're not getting any home cooked meals. So it's not what people think. So, you know what you're talking about? They talk about ball players are way overpaid. I've always said, you know, show me one other person in the world that can do what that guy does at third base for the Padres. Who can do what he does? Nobody.
Exactly.
So he's not overpaid. He might be underpaid. It's just what the market, you know, what they're willing to pay a guy to play there, because there isn't anybody else on the planet that can do that. You know, I've always said, you know, they said the CEOs make $20-30 million a year. I got news for you. There's a ton of CEOs in this world. And, you know, you can go to school to learn how to be a CEO or whatever it is out there. So, yeah, ballplayer is a special breed, and, it doesn't last that long for you. So you got to take advantage of what you can. But, yeah, the travel is something different than baseball.
Yeah, and I want to get into travel, but you hit a good point on it with the CEOs and everything. There's a strikeout here in Hollywood that's, you know, and when you look at the Baseball Players Union, and I've always said this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the strongest union in America across the board. Might even be bigger than the Teamsters. They kind of control it because, you know, the owners aren't going to make you guys cave in like this Hollywood strike, which I think it's going to be the big Sonys and you know, these big Warner Brothers and everything that are going to crumble these guys, these actors and actresses. I don't know if they have the same kind of pull, which I don't think they have as strong as your union was, and that's what's keeping these guys at bay, because you guys, there was no way they were going to sit you guys out, because you guys definitely hold all the cards, rightfully so. Any thought to that? Am I right on that?
Oh, you're no question. You're right about it. It's when you got a union and everybody, you know, agrees to everything you're doing. You know, it's a team vote. Basically, and you got your team representative that your player rep who goes to the meetings, and they put in the vote for your team. And it's always the same because everybody's on the same page. It's just how baseball is. You know, it's just like two guys, you know, that have never met each other, that played in the big leagues. You know, they meet somewhere, they run into each other, and they, next thing you know, they're talking a different language because it's the same. And so baseball's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. You know, these days I think, you know, baseball's kind of got a little away from the team concept a little bit, just because of how the game has gotten some. But as far as being on the same page and everybody wanting the same things with the union, I mean, it is what it is, and that's why it's been so strong for so many years. And so, yeah, the players union is by far the strongest union in the world.
Yeah, now we've seen a number one pick by the Pirates get $9 million, maybe a little bit more than that. We've seen the second pick get around that same price by Washington. Detroit signed the third pick, the high school kid. I think he got 7.7. We've seen the Celtics just sign a guy, $304 million in Jaylen Brown in Boston. And now we'll probably see where the Angels might have the biggest decision in franchise history to find out whether they're going to up the ante to keep Shohei Ohtani there, because I think it's going to be $700 million for at least 10 years. Any thought to these big contracts, and have you been limbering up the arm? I know you've been trying to get your son out there to limber up the arm. What is the price going to be paying for guys like him when your son hits the bigs?
Shohei Ohtani, there's two ways to look at him. You know, if he gets injured as a hitter, he's going to be injured as a pitcher. And so you're losing two players at one time for that price. So I honestly, I don't know this for a fact by any means, but I think the Angels are going to figure out a way to keep him on a Bobby Bonilla contract where they just pay him down, you know, for the next 25, 30 years. And I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, Shohei Ohtani's already making $60 million a year with all his, with his apparel and just all his other endorsements that he has. You know, he's making 30, but I think he's making another 35 on the side. And the next highest guy is Judge, making $3 million a year on the side. So, you know, he's worldly known, obviously in Japan. You know, when I played over there, you know, it was nothing but Ichiro on all the billboards everywhere. And so, I think he's going to stay in Anaheim, and one of the reasons, because one of the reasons I think that is because the Japanese are pretty loyal, and when they're doing well, they kind of stick around. I do know that, you know, Ichiro, he moved around a little bit, but, you know, he wanted a little bit of that Big Apple, pie of the Big Apple, too. And so I just don't see these guys leaving the Angels and this weather and what you have here. So when you say $700 million, it might be a stretch, because there's going to have to be something in there where, I mean, you can't put it in the contract, you turn on one side and get paid on the other by any means. So I just don't understand how they're going to structure that contract, because you're so good on both ends. Like I said, if you go and tear up a knee sliding into home plate or third base, you can't pitch either. So you've lost both ways. You know, when he got hurt with his Tommy John surgery, he could still hit. He came back really quick and started hitting. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think they're going to keep him around, though. I really do.
Well, that's a great point you bring up, and I'm going to throw this. I'm going to play the other side of this coin here, looking at the Pirates, looking at the Reds, bringing up the young kids from AAA, the prospects, getting some seasoning in, gearing up for 2024, you know, mixing in with the veterans there and the Rich Hills and stuff like that in Pittsburgh and the Carlos Santanas and stuff like that. So this time next year, they're going to be that much more dangerous, along with the Reds with De La Cruz over there. I think when you look at a team like the Angels, they're in the middle of the pack. And when you're in the middle of the pack, you can either go forward or backwards. The other teams are going to be coming on because they're loading up with all their guys. They're seasoning them. They're laying a foundation like the Houston Astros did years ago. And then all of a sudden, they were contenders. You see that across the board with the Tampa Bay Rays that you brought up before. But when I look at a guy, if you're going to move Ohtani, he needs to go where somebody's already got 2-3 pieces in place there that he can put him over the top. Keeping him in the same place is not necessarily helping either him trying to win a World Series or the team trying to do something, because they haven't won with them. So when you look at a team like the Angels, and you look at other teams that need a piece like a Shohei Ohtani, or other teams that just keep gradually building through their farm system, where would you want to be on the pecking order, Kip?
Well, you know, you bring up good points with all this, and you know, you got the Pirates, you got the Reds, you got these teams that are up and coming, but the problem is, are they going to keep it going up and coming? You know, you got to sell off, you know, you trade or you sell off some of your good players coming up. The Reds got a lot of good players right now, and they're young. So do you keep going where you're going with that, or do you bring in another guy like Ohtani or Trout or somebody? In my opinion, you have got to get rid of either Trout or Ohtani if you're going to have a winner, because you can't, you just can't pay for both those guys and have a winner, because the payroll is going to be off the charts sooner or later, because you still have to keep your other players that fill in. And they got a bunch of payroll that's not even playing there also of top name guys, you know, that are making a lot of money there. And so, you know, I think a Cincinnati team right now is where somebody should probably think about going as a free agent. I mean, they've got a lot of talent right now. Pittsburgh's got a lot of talent right now. Tampa Bay's got a lot of talent right now. But how long are they going to keep those guys around with those payrolls? Because sooner or later, you got to pay them. You know, you go back way back when Cleveland, you know, they had a really, really good team. And they started paying those guys after their first and second years. You know, back when Omar Mascal and Manny Ramirez and those guys were first coming up. And they kept those guys around for a long time. They never won a World Series, but they were always contenders. But, you've always said it, you know, pitching is 90% of the game, 95% of the game.
Yeah.
And if you don't have pitching, you're not going to win. And that's where the Angels, every year, they go wrong, in my opinion. You got to start with that bullpen and bring it up the other direction to your starters. You know, you're always going to have your one and twos, but who's in that bullpen? Especially today's game, they go, starters are almost like non-existent anymore. And so if you're going to do what baseball is doing right now, you've got to start from your closer and bring it the other direction. And so now you've got a chance in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. Back when the Reds, you know, you got the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
They started the whole thing with bringing your relievers in and won a World Series just like that. Boom. And, you know, some teams bottled off to that, some didn't. But now you've got all your teams. Sometimes you got, what, nine pitchers in a game. You know, one inning, one inning, one inning. You know, the bullpen day and everybody pitches. I don't agree with it. If a guy's going to go out and throw an inning and he dominates in seven or eight pitches, let him go another inning, let him go another inning. But, you know, that's just the way the game is headed now. And but you're right with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and these teams. They've got a lot of young talent, and you've got to build on that and let it go. I think you do.
Yeah, not only that, and then when you look at a Shohei Ohtani, big market guy, big guy, you know, let's say the Reds get in the mix of this thing for a two-month rental. They package some prospects to Cincinnati, throw an everyday guy in there. He goes to Cincinnati. Does Cincinnati really have the money to sign this guy, and does he really want to be there? Is he just that big megastar that's got to be in New York, Chicago, L.A.? I have no problem playing in those type of cities, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I love those. You know, you could be a big fish in a small pond, but some of these guys, do they want to, you know, be into that situation, or do they need the bright lights in the big city?
I think the Ohtani's of the world and the Trout's of the world are going to have to go where they're going to have to sign them to a longer deal before they even get traded, or they're going to have to agree to something. Because, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, like I said, he's so unique. And how do you package him? I mean, who do you get for him? And who's going to want to take him, knowing that you're probably going to have to pay $500-700 million for a guy for the next, you know, 10 years? I mean, how do you do this? Like I said, I think it's going to have to be a Bobby Bonilla contract where they pay for the next 30 years, you know, and that's the only way it's going to work with him, because I don't even know if a New York or you know, the New York teams or the Boston's the world can do it, or the L.A.'s the world can do it. Because when I think the Dodgers could do it only because they have a conglomerate with all the different, you know, people that pay salaries there and how they have it all set up. But what do you give? What do you take to get this done? And, you know, it doesn't matter where he goes. He's going to be the most popular player in baseball right now because of what he does. And it's a unique situation with him. He pitches every 6 days, and he usually dominates. If he doesn't dominate, he has a really good game on most other pitcher standards. And as a hitter, you know, he just gets streaky hot. You know, he had that month where he hit how many home runs and hit 350 for the month. He's just one of those hitters, and then when he goes cold, he's hitting 260, so which is off the charts in today's baseball world for hitters. So he's fun to watch. I wish they would play him a little bit more in the outfield, just a tad, just because I think it'd be kind of cool just to see that. But you know, watching him pitch, it's just really, really fun to see him pitch, because he throws a lot of strikes, and most Japanese players, because I played their pitchers, you know, they get ahead. Next thing you know, they fiddle around and they try to make you dive or, you know, hit something that's not a strike, where he just kind of keeps coming at you. And I wish he wouldn't strike as many guys out, because I think he could be a lot better pitcher. But when you have that fork ball and that little slider he has, they call it the sweeper now, but, you know, when he throws that thing, it's almost unhittable. And so, I just think that any team out there, if they do make a trade for him, it's not going to be for much, because they're just going to say, well, how am I going to sign this guy? And so I don't think he's going to get much in return unless there's a contract out there for him that he agrees upon before the trade is made. And that's my opinion.
Hey, the Padres sitting five games under .500. They're 0-4 against the Pirates this year. The Mets, on the other hand, are 46-53. They're 18.5 back of Atlanta. When you look at the Padres, they got three guys that are over $300 million in contracts. Snell's a free agent, and Hader's a free agent this year. The Mets got two pitchers over there in Scherzer and Verlander that, if they're going to unload, I'm thinking they're going to probably have to eat at least three quarters of that before somebody takes a bite. And do you really want to pay three quarters and let him reap the benefits somewhere else? I might as well just keep them and go into next year with these guys. Two teams at the crossroads, the Mets and the Padres. Who's got the better chance to unload? Who's got a better chance to get into the playoffs of the wild card?
Well, you got the Mets out there, and the owner, he doesn't care what he spends to get his players, but he's just another guy that you can say that you can't buy a championship, and it just doesn't work that way. You've got to get the gel. You got to get the clubhouse right. You got to get guys that you know, look up to these guys and learning from the other guys, and they gel as a team. And, you know, how many years did some of these other teams like the Dodgers and whatever, they just kept buying teams, whatever. Yankees did it for a lot of years, but they had superstars throughout the lineup. You know, and Joe Torre managed those Yankee teams. He could have made the lineup in his sleep. That's how many, you know, good hitters he had in that lineup and all the way through with the pitching. And so the Mets, I don't think they're going to win. I think they should get rid of some guys. I mean, your salaries are way too high. But then again, like I said, the owner, he don't care what he's paying right now. And then you got the Padres. I mean, they've got one hell of a lineup, but why aren't they winning? You know, you got a Snell that does things. But, you know, Mark, I'm going to keep going back to this, and I'll go back to it often. When a pitcher's pitching well, let him pitch. You know, the Angels. My son's a huge Angel fan. And they'll take these guys out after they get close to 100 pitches, have them get up a run, maybe one run. Next thing you know, the bullpen comes in and just gives it up, and now they're down runs. You know, if a guy's pitching well, let him pitch. But, you know, the analytics today say, well, you can't go over 100 pitches and you can't go through the lineup three times. Well, they did it for 147 other years. Didn't have a problem doing it. And now all of a sudden they can't do it. And it's just – and you got Tommy John surgeries off the charts. It's just, I think they've got to go back and look at this whole structure of the pitching and get it right and quit thinking about hitting home runs constantly and play the game, play the small ball a little bit more. And, you know, it's good to see that the base running now, but, you know, it's the base running is only because of the new rules with only being able to throw over twice and you got the bases closer together. You know, that's why there's so many more stolen bases today. But the runs aren't being scored anymore than they were in the past. That's the whole thing. They keep trying to get more runs scored, but it's not happening. Why? Because pitchers are striking out more because guys are trying to hit more home runs. But I'm with you on this whole thing as far as the owners and the Padres and the Mets. I think you're probably going to have a little bit of a fire sale on both ends, just a little bit with both, and trying to bring in some prospects. I mean, look at the Reds. Look at the Pirates. Reds are winning for one reason. They have good young players, and they got good young pitching. And you got to have that 95% pitching. If you don't have pitching, you can score all the runs you want. You're just not going to win without good pitching in clutch time.
You know, let me ask you, you've pitched for so many years in the bigs. When you have a team that's a bunch of free swingers and then you have another team that's a bunch of grinders, does that kind of mess with your mechanics? Do you have to really adjust your pitching when you get these kind of teams? Was there a team you faced, I'm sure, that would just flat-out grinders that would grind you every pitch? You'd have to throw the strikes. And then you have others that are just big boppers, free swingers.
Well, the big boppers for me were the easier, not easier hitter, but you fared well against them because they had more holes. The big boppers have more holes, where the small guys like the Bip Roberts of the world, you know, and the Tony Gwynns of the world, they don't have holes. And so they're the ones you got to kind of play with them more and more breaking balls and stuff like that because – you know, most people say, well, I'm going to throw him a fastball because he doesn't hit the ball out of the ballpark. Yeah, but he's still going to get hits, and he's going to get doubles. And then you get on base, and then the big bopper comes up. Now you got to pitch a little more tight instead of, you know, throwing more free willy. And so then you do miss a little bit over the plate, and there goes – now you got a two-run, three-run home run. And that's kind of how that works. You know, that the big guys is hard today because two reasons. Number one is it's hard to pitch inside today because when you hit somebody – now both teams get warned almost automatically, and then somebody gets thrown out of habits again. And number two is there is so much body armor being worn today by all the hitters. It's like, why would you not? And, I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, and I think there's one rule in baseball they should change because of the armor. If you wear it to the plate, you have to wear it all the way around the bases. And seriously, it's part of your uniform. Let's wear it. I mean, when a guy walks at home plate, he sits there for like 15, 20 seconds taking all his armor off, you know, the elbow pad, the shin pad, the gloves. You know, now they got the gloves with the pads on the outside. I think one time I counted Shohei Ohtani had 11 different pads on his body when he hit.
Oh, my God.
Can you just imagine Babe Ruth didn't even wear a helmet?
Yeah.
You know, no batting
gloves. Protecting the investment. Yeah.
So
that's what they're doing. Hey, we're down to the last five, and, you know, I do a show with Alex Berg with the Giants, and they had a death march trip. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Washington, makeup in Detroit yesterday, and now they're playing tonight against Oakland. No rest for the weary. when you pack for a 4-city road trip and then you come back, I mean, is it a couple suitcases? Is it? I mean, it's got to be just right to the cleaners. Hopefully, you can get there at 5-6 in the morning because you're coming probably back at 3 in the morning from the east to the west. That's got to be tough. And then you got a night game the next day. No, not even a day off.
Yep, it's you know, all your hotels are 5-star in the big league, so that helps with your dry cleaning or your clean that you have, and plus you can get some of your stuff cleaned at the field. You know, your clubhouse guys will do whatever you need there also. Kind of helps, but you know, it's when you do this for 7.5 months out of year. I know the season's only 6 months. Shouldn't say only 6 months.
Yeah.
182, but you've got spring training for a month and a half, and now guys are training almost all year round. It doesn't end. And so, yeah, you're packing, you know, you can't take too much with you, but at the same time, you've got to pack. I always pack for the same, didn't matter what trip I was going on. If I was going on a 12-day, I'd pack the same as I did on a 3-day trip. It didn't matter. I just threw all the same stuff
yeah.
in and hope for the best and make it work that way. But, you know, some teams require suit and ties. Some teams don't. You know, it's all about the manager and what they want you to do. So you've got to come and do your packing kind of according to what the team wants you to wear, you know, on the flights or, you know, going to the hotels when you get there because they want you to look nice. Some do, some don't. And but it's a grind. It's a total grind outside of the game also. You're grinding inside the lines, you know, when you practice all that, but you're also having to grind outside the lines when you're, you know, on these road trips. Then you don't have your families with you. And so if you got kids, you know, it's like, when do I talk to my kids? When do I talk to my wife? And it's you know, some of them travel more today than they used to, but at the same time, the wives don't want to take the kids out and travel the country, you know, especially during school. And it's a tough gig. And, you know, there's a lot of money and fame involved in baseball, but most guys, if you ask them if they wanted it, they would say no. They don't want the notoriety and the fame. They just want to play hard-nosed baseball and help their families, you know, get financially set in the long run. That's basically what it is.
Wow, last 2 minutes, the umpires. I mean, we can go on and on. Joe West, the late, great John McSherry. I mean, Doug Harvey, Paul Runge. I mean, where do we start? Who was the best for you? And we could put the worst, but the ones that really squeezed the strike zone on you.
You know what? There's been so many umpires over the years, the course of all the years of playing. You know, a lot of guys, I think, get a lot of bad raps. Like I've always said, Joe West. I know Joe West. You know, he was at third base when I had my debut with Cincinnati, and I've got to know Joe West. Every once in a while, I'll text him, I'll talk to him, whatever, and say, because now, you know, he's umpired. He umpired more than any other umpire ever in the history of Major League Baseball. But you know, guys hear things. Well, Joe West isn't good. They don't even do. You know, they can't even tell you. So what? Why was he not good? You know, well, I heard he wasn't good. Okay, so then why wasn't he good? Then today, you know, I will dead say Angel Hernandez is, you know, he's just not good. And, you know, then he tries to sue Major League Baseball because he's Spanish or whatever he is and saying that's why he was getting a bad rap. I don't know what all that was. But, you know, you've had your bad calls over the years, you know, back when Jim Joyce, you know, with Armando Galarraga, you know, for a perfect game. And how does that man even live with it over the years? He knew he screwed up, especially when he got to see the replay. And so there's a perfect game out there that should be on the board. You know, if I was commissioner, I'd say, no, that was a perfect game because we know it was. You know, then you got your Don Denkinger to the world, you know, for the Royals, you know, when he called that guy at first base.
I remember that one.
The Royals back win the World Series. So, you know, it's a tough gig to be an umpire. It really is. Everybody's looking at you. And if you make a bad call, you know, it's not like making an error at shortstop. You know, it's, you're expected to make errors, but as an umpire, you're not expected to make any errors. And so, you know, now you got instant replay and maybe soon you might have the robo umpires behind the plate. I'm not a fan of it. I'm kind of on the wall with both of them. I think it all evens out. Even with the replay, they still get them wrong. And it's right. So how did you say that wasn't a home run when it was a home run? And you can call it a home run, but they not just so where is this going? Who's making these calls? But umpires, you know what? It's always been known that 25% of all calls around that square, that rectangle as a hitter and a pitcher are incorrect, 25%. And it's not 25% of all of them, but just the ones on that square. And if you really think about it, that's pretty damn good when you really look at it closely. And so it's tough. I've actually umpired a few games, of kids just because they needed somebody, and I've gotten back there. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
You've got, takes a lot of practice, just like baseball takes a lot of practice. And so the one thing I wish they would do, though, I wish that they would have some type of relief, just like you do in pitching. If a guy's not doing well, in between innings, change it up. Have the other guy put his armor back, go call the balls and strike. And so I just think there are other ways you can do things. But as far as some of these calls as umpires, you know, they got to live with it for life. And, yeah, they screw up just like everybody else. It's a human error. And so you're going to have that. And but, yeah, there's good umpires. There's bad umpires. But for the most part, they're all pretty damn good. They really are, if you really think about it. So umpires get a bad rap.
Unbelievable. As we wind this thing down, and, man, oh, man, I can't wait to talk about base stealers and you try to keep them close next week on the show. Which ones the ones that would gave you problems, and which was the ones you had their number? We're throwing strikes, no balls on this show each and every Tuesday, the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by my brother, mentor, and friend Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini. Kip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my good brother.
Once again, kipgross.com. That's where my book that's going to be out pretty soon, Figured Out. You go on there, or you can get a hold of me at beagamer@gmail.com. And let me know what you got. And I'm enjoying these podcasts more and more as we go there, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Each and every week, and bringing it back. And no, you know, wait till we get the logo on some T-shirts, man. Nothing's going to touch this show. As we wind this thing down, thanks for listening, everybody. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Tell all your friends. We'll see you next Tuesday, same time, same channel. Till then, have a blessed one. Thank you, Kip. Have a good one out there in Newport.
Okay, you guys have a good week, and we'll see you all next week.
Thank you.